Hello, hello. This is Interneted. I'm Michael Bird.
And I'm Rob Murgatroyd.
And welcome to our show about tech, gadgets, and the internet by a couple of blokes who are always being asked how to fix most of it. Isn't that right, Rob?
That's absolutely right, Michael. On this show, we'll be sharing our tech knowledge and keeping you informed with all the latest tech news and updates from around the internet. We'll also be opening a brand new case at the Agony Uncles Detective Agency, solving your tech woes. And finally, we'll head over to the Museum of Retro Tech, where we'll be taking a look at some of the biggest moments in gadget history.
So buckle up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show from two blokes in our spare bedrooms. This is Interneted.
Okay then, well, to start the show, it's time for our weekly tech roundup. Each week we'll both be bringing the most interesting bits of news from around the world of tech, sifting through the Bluetooth-enabled toothbrushes, Twitter memes, selfie toasters, and voice-activated taps. So you don't have to. Michael, what is happening in the world this week?
That list of things, are those all genuine things?
Absolutely, they are fantastic bits of technology, but not for everyone.
I mean, some of them sound a little bit... I don't know. A bit weird. Anyway, first thing on the list of things that I want to talk about in tech news is the whole Wall Street Bets, Reddit, GameStop, AMC craziness that's been dominating the tech news headlines. I don't think you can go on a single tech-related website with this not being one of the top stories.
You cannot at all. It's been everywhere, Michael.
If not the top story.
So what's going on? What is it?
Okay,
can you give us a little overview?
I think there are probably like three things that you probably need to be aware of or you need to understand before you can understand the kind of the topic. Okay, so the first thing is GameStop, who's the company at the middle of all this. So GameStop, they're a video game shop in America. They, you know, like all shops, they've been really struggling during the pandemic, and they're one of those companies that just, you know, they've got shops, so they're really struggling. And their revenue has been falling and their stock price has been falling. And I think it fell to like $4 a share. And lots of investors assumed this company would go bankrupt. And that's really important. So lots of investors thought this company would go bankrupt. So that's kind of the first bit. The second thing is...
So they're struggling.
So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. The second thing is there is this thing called Reddit. Okay. Robert, you and I frequent Reddit.
We do.
Occasionally. I mean...
As for our sins, we do.
So Reddit is essentially like a social media network where you can basically be anonymous. It's just full of... I mean, it's just... It has some really cool parts of it.
It's everything and anything on Reddit, isn't it? It's a sort of a community voting system where the most interesting, most... fascinating bits of news and pictures all get upvoted by the community, and the biggest things on there is what everyone thinks is interesting.
I really like it. I think Reddit can be pretty wholesome sometimes, and
absolutely.
It's really cool. Anyway, so in Reddit has groups also called subreddits, and they have there is a subreddit that somebody created years and years ago called Wall Street Bets, and it is a very strange, of all the subreddits I've ever been in, it's really strange. There's loads of memes, loads of inside jokes, lots of just bizarreness.
It's a very serious sort of topic matter.
Yeah.
They've taken it in a very strange direction, haven't they?
And I think from what I read, it was a response to some subreddits that were like very serious about investing. So essentially the subreddit is all about like being very, very... not particularly astute with your money and just like chucking loads of money on companies and either making lots of money or losing lots of money. There doesn't really seem to be a middle ground.
Yeah.
And so Reddit, I mean, the people in Wall Street Bets, I guess they kind of know what they're talking about. Maybe I could just put that one to the side. So that's Wall Street Bets. And then the last thing is the concept of shorting or shorting stocks. Okay. So that is essentially... the opposite to what, I mean, if you know about buying stocks, you know, you're buying a bit of a company, and if that value of the company goes up, the value of the stock that you've bought goes up. Shorting a stock is almost the reverse of it. So you're essentially buying a bit of stock without owning it, and you want the price of that stock to go down, because if it goes down, you make money. And actually, the concept of it is a little bit confusing, but you really just have to understand, if the company loses value, you make money on it. So the concept is totally flipped. So you sell high.
And who's doing the shorting? Is this the people on Reddit?
Very good question. It's the investors. So there's a film called The Big Short, which you may have seen. It's like and it all talks about like the financial crisis back in 2008. And that apparently is all built around people short. No, that wasn't built around people shorting, but people benefited from the 2008 crisis from shorting stocks. So thinking stuff is going to go bad. Okay, so that's essentially what we need to know, right? So then what happened was, okay, so GameStop was shorted. All these investors thought it was going to go down in value. And what happened was more than 100% of the shares were shorted. So that means...
What does that mean?
So basically, there are you know, a set number of slices of the company that you can buy. And these investors basically predicted that the company was going to go down in value, and what they owned was what they were betting on was more than 100% of the company. Apparently something that they do quite a lot, and it's quite an easy thing to do. But that's really important, because then what the people on Reddit, Wall Street Bets, realized was that these guys have got, these guys are in a precarious position, because if this goes down, if it goes up in value, they're going to lose quite a lot of money. And the price can get forced up, because you can create what's called a something squeeze, a short squeeze.
Gamma squeeze? Yeah,
short squeeze. Gosh, this is like not something I thought I'd ever have to try and explain. I'm doing my best. Let's here we go.
Doing well.
Thank you. So basically what happened then was the price of GameStop went up, because what the people on Reddit started doing is they were like, guys, let's buy lots of this stock, because there's going to then be there's then going to be this squeeze in the share price. Basically, all these people that have got these shorts, they're going to want to buy some of the stock that's available, so to stop them from losing so much money, which then means that the price of the stock goes up. And so if people keep buying stocks, there's less of the people who have bought these shorts to buy to cover their losses. It all gets very, very confusing. But essentially, the value went up, and all of these investors, they lost lots and lots of money. And as the value kept going higher and higher and higher, they were losing more and more money, and it was getting more publicity. And then more people bought stocks, and then the value went up, and it just snowballed and snowballed and snowballed and snowballed. And people on Reddit have made a lot of money. And
they have. I've seen individual people making, you know, millions, actually millions, from this whole thing.
And the crazy thing is, that's part one of the story. What then happened was that the companies that people were buying these shares from, i.e. the platforms where they bought the physical shares, they started stopping people to buy shares, and it got very dicey, because there's lots of rumors around of like they're stopping people from buying shares to stop this squeeze of the stock price, so the people who are investing in shares, who the investors who bought the shorts can cover their losses more easily. I don't really understand all
it. Sounds a little shady, and you know, the big guys at the top aren't particularly happy, and they've used their influence.
So there was a company called Robinhood who basically stopped, they refused to allow you to buy shares for a period last week. And basically it's been this crazy turn of events. I mean, I don't know if you've seen on Reddit, I was looking early this week, and some people on the Wall Street Bets subreddit have started buying ads, like billboards in New York City.
In Times Square, New York, they had a Reddit sponsored ad that was talking about this whole thing, and it's quite something to behold. It's the little guys coming together to try and take on these absolute giants, hedge funds.
And that's why, I mean, it's quite an interesting story to follow, because basically there's a lot of talk about like they're playing them at their own game a little bit. And it's just like, you know, the power of the internet, the power of people being able to have these conversations and kind of suss what's happening. So if you see the billboards are basically... a lot of Wall Street Bet memes. So if you see like an emoji of a diamond and hands, that means on Wall Street Bet, that means hold your stock. You've got to keep holding. Hold the stock. And that's
Diamond hands ready.
That's basically what all the memes are. And that's what people are putting on these billboards. I mean, it's hilarious when stuff on the internet breaks out into the real world, isn't it? It's a bit It's a bit crazy. So that
I know it, but it's I'm glad that it's come out in this way. You know, usually if Reddit gets mentioned on the news, it's in shame. You know,
yeah,
these crazy people on Reddit have done something awful. But at the moment, lots of people seem to be rallying around them, don't they?
Yeah. So the share price rose to at one point. So it went to started at $4 a share. That was like the lowest point. I don't know, maybe November or something. It rose to $150 a share. Like that is insane growth. And if you look at like the little graph, it's like a vertical line going upwards. So, I mean, I don't know if I probably didn't explain it particularly well, but in summary, lots of stuff has happened where the virtual world of Reddit has collided with the Wall Street investors world, and it's been a crazy roller coaster. I mean, nobody would have predicted it this year. I mean, I guess nobody.
Not at all. But it's been great to watch from the outside. It's been fantastic drama to watch.
Very much so.
So I think the next item I'd like to bring onto this is a company called Xiaomi. They're a Chinese.
Xiaomi. How do you spell Xiaomi?
Exactly like it sounds.
G-H.
Yep, you've nailed that. No, it starts with a Z. Starts with an X, actually.
Xiaomi.
My knowledge of the internet's clearly let me
starts
down
with an X. Anyway, sorry, Xiaomi. Sorry, go ahead.
So Xiaomi is a manufacturer in China, a technology manufacturer known for making sort of relatively cheap Android phones.
Yeah.
But they also have started to push into developing newer technologies. And something they've announced quite recently was the Xiaomi Mi Air Charging, which is quite interesting, actually. It's not something we've really seen too much of, and it feels very futuristic. And what it is, you know, you get wireless charging. So the new iPhone
came out,
12, you get a little thing that sticks to the back of your phone and it charges through that. Or you've got like a pad and it charges through that.
This is true
wireless air charging. So you have what is essentially a charging block that sits in your living room. And you can carry around your phone anywhere in that living room, anywhere in the room, and it will charge wirelessly without being connected to any wires or anything.
So, and does it work just for that room? Is it just for that room, or does it work across the house?
The range that I think they suggested was about 5 meters, so it's probably on a per room basis.
Oh, okay.
But the technology is fascinating. It uses the same sort of wavelengths as like 5G, so really, really high wavelength stuff. So your devices will concentrate that beam that's sent out from the charging box and convert it into power. It will be constantly charging your phone battery.
That's really cool. I mean, I guess there's probably some questions around like how efficient it is. And like, you know, is it good for the environment? Is it just better?
Yeah, so they've touted some figures. They say that the efficiency is roughly about 5 watts, which in today's standards isn't massive, you know, with fast charging and USB-C and all that sort of stuff. That's quite low. But I think the thought of it is that you won't have to think about it all the time because it'll just be constantly happening. You'll be using your phone, but it'll be going up in battery constantly. So you don't necessarily need it to be really quick. It'll just be happening without you thinking about it.
I guess it could open the door for devices that don't have batteries.
Absolutely. It opens the door. If this technology comes through and is sort of commonplace, it opens the door for anything. Imagine any single one of your technology items being able to be placed anywhere, essentially, if it could constantly be being powered.
That's really cool. So truly wireless charging. That's pretty cool.
Truly wireless. Yep.
All right. I'll go next then. No, this one's good. Okay. So you know Tesla, don't you?
Oh, yes.
So they're the famous electric car manufacturer. So Tesla make, they make a few different models of their cars. There's like the Model S, the Model 3, the Model Y, the Model X, I think there's the Model, and the Roadster. Yeah. They have just released a new version of their Model S, which was like one of the first cars that came out. Okay. And okay, so the outside looks the same. And I've just sent you a link, Rob. So I open it up, right? So the outside looks the same, but the interior is a bit mental. Like, it's really, really cool. So have you got the photo? Can you describe, there's one part of the interior that I think looks particularly,
I mean,
sci-fi.
This whole thing looks like a dream from my childhood. Like,
yes.
I can't believe that things like this are actually going to start being produced. It's, imagine the coolest gaming, like racing gaming setup you've ever thought of with like
Yeah,
a steering wheel and just a huge screen right next to you with TVs and all sorts of stuff on it. This is mental. But this is like, what's going on with that steering wheel?
It's
not a circle.
Describe it for the listeners.
So it's a bit like a Formula One racing car steering wheel, if you can think of that. It's a sort of a rectangle. It's not a circle, and it's got a whole load of buttons on it. But it strikes you because it's not a circle. How does that work?
Well, they call it the steering yoke. So I think it's actually designed to kind of look a bit like the kind of things that pilots of commercial jets have to fly. And it's, yeah, as you said, it's kind of like rectangular with holes in the bottom where you'd sometimes have holes in the steering wheel, and a little like bulbous thing in the middle, which I assume is where the airbag is. And then just like a load of buttons and dials on the side. And there are no indicator stalks on it, which would freak me out. There's no, on some cars you have those like little, what, like gear sticks and automatic cars. They've got none of those, so you can't, you know, no putting it in reverse.
I'm looking at it now. There's no gear stick or any sort of change at all.
So I think the indicator stalks are on the wheel, and the drive modes are on the touchscreen. And the touchscreen is a 17-inch touchscreen. It's massive. Absolutely huge. And then there's a little there's a little screen at the back, so you can play movies from the touchscreen. And the mode is called the plaid mode, and it is 1,000 horsepower is the top.
1,000 horsepower.
The top power rating. I mean, we're now talking about cars, which is not my area of expertise. When we move from technology to cars, it's where I'm desperately out of my comfort zone. And it starts at £83,000. So I'll take three, please.
Yeah, lovely, nice and cheap, nice and affordable, but. It looks insane. This is essentially an electric powered rocket. I just read that the max spec can go up to 0-60 in under 2 seconds.
I mean, they're just incredible cars, aren't they? They're really, really cool. And what I think is so cool about them, which is why I'd love to have one, is it is so packed full of technology, and I just think it's so cool. You know, it has like the autopilot and all of that stuff.
Yeah, it is really cool. I've read that the it changes gear, so it changes sort of the drive mode depending on what it thinks is suitable for you, which is a little scary. You know, it'll determine if you're going into drive mode or if you're going to reverse. It will determine that, which is, yeah. I'll be interested to see how that turns out, actually.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rob, do you have anything else for the tech news section?
So just a quick one right at the end. It's, as you may know, Michael, I'm quite into my gaming.
Yes, I do know that. Yes.
You do know that. I don't keep it a secret, do I? Something that is really interesting in the world of gaming this week was Nvidia's announcement that their streaming service, GeForce Now, is now compatible with Chrome and the new Apple M1 Max.
So
it might not sound like a big thing.
I was just going to ask, what is game streaming? Can you just explain what that is and why it's such a big deal?
Game streaming is basically, imagine Netflix but for gaming. So you don't have to own any of the games, like you wouldn't have to own any of the movies or TV shows with Netflix. You see a selection, you see a big library of games, you can click on any one of them and it will stream it over the internet and play it right on your computer without, you know, using any of your hardware. You know, you can have any old PC.
Oh, so I don't like a really powerful computer to be able to do it.
Not
I can
at all.
Just do it and on like anything.
As we can see now, it's compatible on the Chrome web browser, which means, you know, people with Chromebooks, little old Chromebooks, they can run fully fledged AAA titles in 4K 60 frames per second, which I think is pretty crazy.
Wow. And so that's pretty much it for our tech roundup. I think it might be.
I think that's it. That's all the biggest things that I've heard.
Well, there we go. That's it for our first tech roundup. We'll be back with part two of Interneted right after this. Welcome back to Interneted, a show about tech, gadgets, and the internet. And it's now time for the part of the show where we take a trip to the Agony Uncles Detective Agency. Yes, we are the Agony Uncles, and this is our detective agency, solving crimes against tech since Windows Vista.
And this week, we open the doors once again to solve troubling tech mishaps, misdemeanors, and cold cases sent in by our helpless bystanders.
Yeah, we set this agency up because we are both those people who always get asked how to fix stuff. It's tough work, but somebody has to do it.
It's true, but we love it. Deep down, we love being those guys.
We love it. Hey, we do.
So, Michael, what's our case today?
Well, today's case comes from Caroline, and it's all about video conferencing.
Okay.
I mean, video conference. It's not really video conferencing, is it? Video calling. Calling your family on the video.
It's the way we live our lives now. Video.
Okay, so here we go.
Hi, Agony Uncles. I've got this really big problem. Whenever I do Zoom calls, my friends say they can't see or hear me properly. Please, 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 can you help me?
Do you reckon, can we handle the case?
I think we hear this question quite a lot from a lot of people around us, so I think we've got a good answer for this one.
Okay, so should we split it into like four areas? So I think there are four main areas. So it's having good sound, having good video, having a good connection, and having a good app. So why don't you go first? You go first.
So I think, yes, one of the main things that I'd like to recommend is having good sound. You know, people hate listening to Zoom calls where everyone's stuttery, or they listen to someone that's really far away, or they've just got people in the same room as them. So I think some of our suggestions should be around that. And number one, if you can, be in a quiet room. It's pretty simple. You know, if you're on a call, if it's work or if it's catching up with someone, don't have music going on in the background because it'll cut in and out. It'll be really frustrating for everyone. And yeah, just try and avoid being somewhere that's got a background hum or anything
like
that.
Very true. Very true. What's next on the list?
I think avoiding echoes as well. So you don't want to...
So don't record in your bathroom.
Don't record in your bathroom. Yeah, try and go somewhere with a carpet if you can.
Oh, good idea. What's next on the list?
So a massive one that I think a lot of people miss out is actually wearing headphones. It's something really simple, and it prevents your computer from picking up the audio that it's producing from the speakers of someone else speaking into the same microphone that it's got in it. So it sort of cuts out some of the background echo and the feedback that you might be getting if you're listening to someone talk.
And finally, on the list?
And finally, I think it's pretty simple, and it's sort of the basic etiquette around having any video call. It's just to learn how to use the mute button. Oh. If you're not talking, just go on mute.
I've been on so many calls. In fact, I was on a call only this week where somebody, it was like, there were about 300 people on this call, and somebody was just like laughing their head off, and they hadn't put themselves on mute. And it was.
I mean, I'm glad they're having a good time, but we don't want to hear it.
We don't want to hear it. Okay, I'll pick up the next section then. Okay. So you need good video because people might not be able to see you. Okay, so good lighting. Make sure you're not sat in front of something bright like a window, or like have bright lights behind you, because the camera will pick up that and will try and adjust the camera, adjust the picture so those lights aren't really, really bright. So you'll end up being super, super dark unless you've got a fancy camera that you can control lots of settings. Mm. So generally, avoid being behind something really bright.
What do we think about, like, you can get those digital backgrounds, can't you? How do you think those go down?
Oh, as in like the pre-made ones on
like a custom
on
background that you can show.
Yeah, I've seen people use them to great effect. But for that to work, you need to contrast with your background. So you can't see, listeners, but my background is very white. I've got a white wall and a white wardrobe behind me. If I was wearing a white t-shirt, it might cut my I might have a floating head because it might
look a bit like Harry Potter wearing his invisibility cloak.
Exactly that. So if you're doing that, if you wear something that contrasts with your background, it tends to work quite nicely. Next thing, if you are on a laptop, specifically a laptop, I'm not sure it works on the devices, use an external webcam. Sometimes the laptop cameras, especially on MacBooks, tend to be a bit rubbish. So if you use an external webcam, you can pick them up quite cheaply on the internet. They tend to be a lot better because they are kind of designed just to do that.
Also something that you can position wherever you want. On my laptop
that's
at home,
exactly it.
My webcam is positioned in the worst place. It's right next to the escape button, right that down on
rubbish.
Your keyboard itself. So it just looks up your nose the whole time. And if you're on a video call, that's not what you want to be seeing.
And it means you can kind of move your laptop to one side if you want to. And you can have it, you can position it so you're actually talking to the person. So that's always good. And if you haven't got an external webcam, if you're using a device, something like that, try and raise the device up so it's kind of up to eye level. So you're looking, it almost looks like you're talking to the person.
Like a normal conversation, right?
Like a normal conversation.
Talking to someone's face rather than their, their chin.
It makes it much easier. Right, that's the video section. What's the next section?
So I think, so another big thing is good connection. Making sure that your Zoom call or whatever call you're having is stable, because that will affect both your audio quality and your video quality. If you've got a poor connection, everyone's seen it when someone's dropping out on their Wi-Fi and you get all pixelated and they start to stutter and it just sounds and looks awful. So something quite simple to do is just get nice and close to your Wi-Fi router. If you're purely wireless, or if your laptop or desktop has got a Ethernet port in it, then try and go wired. So using an Ethernet cable, connect it to your router straight into your laptop, and that'll be the best, most stable connection that you can get.
That is exactly what I did this year. I plugged directly my work laptop directly into the router, and it solved about 90% of the problems I was having.
It's a game changer, isn't it? And also speeds everything up. Everything you do on the internet will be quicker because you'll have that best internet connection possible.
Yeah. There's no dropouts, basically.
So if you're not quite in that situation where you can't get a wired connection, then Wi-Fi is absolutely fine. But you might want to just think about what's between you and the router, because a lot of things, a lot of devices nowadays can actually cause interference.
Like what?
So you've got things like microwaves, which obviously emit radiation. We've got fans, power cables, all sorts of things, even walls. If you're 3 stories above from your router, you're not going to be getting a very good internet connection, so just try and move down closer to your router.
And I think also reflective surfaces like foil, which you get in insulation, it kind of reflects the Wi-Fi waves. I don't know if that's the correct terminology, but it basically makes it harder to get through.
So for all those plastering their walls in foil, please don't do that. It ruins everything.
All those people want to have mirrored walls. Your Wi-Fi will be bad. And you can get repeaters, can't you?
Which can help. Yes, you can. You can get repeaters and extenders, which do really help. And it's something we definitely recommend if you can do it. If you've got any Wi-Fi, they're called dead zones in your house. So it's areas where your Wi-Fi can't quite reach. You can talk to your ISP, your internet service provider, about that if you've got any of those.
And I think finally on the list is about using the right tool. So there are quite a few tools out there, and the popular one that Rob and I are using right now is Zoom. So Zoom is really popular. Like, everyone has talked about Zoom, and everyone has probably, if not used Zoom, has heard of Zoom.
We've all been on a quiz on Zoom at some point.
We've all been on a Zoom quiz. And Zoom is great, but it does have a time limit on it. So that can make some of the calls a bit more complicated. If you're using the free version, I think it's limited to like 45 minutes. So there are other tools. So there's Teams. I think there might even be a free tier of Teams, but there might be some restrictions around it.
I think so.
I find the most reliable tool, if I'm just video calling one person and they have an Apple device, is Apple FaceTime. And so if you've got iOS device, if you've got an iPad or a Mac or an iPhone, FaceTime is super, super reliable.
That's great, because you can do it across all sorts of different devices, can't you? You can join the phone while someone's on a laptop.
Yeah, exactly. And it does support multiple people at one time. It's not just one person to another person. Yeah. And if you use a WhatsApp or any of the alternatives that have started becoming popular, like Signal or Telegram, they've all got a video calling capability built into it as well. So using Zoom isn't your only option, because sometimes Zoom can be a little bit clunky, especially if you want to just quickly call somebody.
And I think sometimes with those tools, like, there are some settings that you can change. You might not have like the right microphone selected for your input device, or might not have the right headphones for your output device, and it can just confuse things. And you might have the right setup, but you just haven't set it up correctly on the tool itself.
And that's exactly it. So that's why if I'm just quickly video calling somebody, I often will do it through FaceTime with a pair of headphones, like we suggested, with, not with bright stuff behind me. And I'll also sometimes put it on a little stand especially if I'm doing FaceTime calls.
You don't want to hurt your arm, do you? Because it takes a long time to talk to people.
And you don't want to be showing people your, your chins and up your nose, as you said. All right, Rob, is that case closed?
I'd say that is. I think we've solved that one.
Okay. So if that's now case closed, it is now time for some retro tech. ¶¶ ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the magnificent museum of retro tech, a totally not made up museum where we preserve the greatest gadgets and tech marvels for generations to come.
That's right. Each week, one of us will be submitting two items. However, we'll be only be adding one piece and one piece only to the illustrious collection.
So, Rob, as you know, we often move the Museum of Retro Tech around. It's like a travelling thing. Where is the museum this week?
So, Michael, this week, the Museum of Retro Tech comes to you from the island of Birr in Devon.
The island of Birr in Devon.
That's right. It's
fantastic.
It's a place I've been to once in my life, and it's got a fantastic hotel on it. And that is the centre of the Museum of Retro Tech.
It's in the hotel.
It's in the hotel. So the museum is in the hotel, and you can only get to this hotel on this island over a sea tractor, which is essentially a tractor that's on stilts. It's quite a sight to behold. And that's because the sea actually comes in, as it does, and washes away or covers up the walkway over the sand. So you can only get to it at certain times of the day. So if you're looking to go to the Museum of Retro Tech, you know,
that's the
better
only,
bring your wellies.
That's the only time you can go.
That's the only time you can go.
And you can only get there on the tractor. So this week, Rob, you're going to be bringing our two potential submissions. And I just want to be clear with you. As curator, I have absolute authority as to what makes it in. Okay?
Okay. So, I understand. I understand. Just, you know, please be gentle.
I will be. Don't worry. So, Rob, welcome to my office. Hang on. Where is my office in the hotel?
I think your office, as far as I remember, I mean, you should know it is your office, but I think it's right at the top with a lovely view over the bay.
Okay, well, do you knock on the door? You going to knock on the door?
Hello?
Come in.
Hi, Michael. It's me, Rob.
Hi, Rob. Oh, long time no speak.
Long time. It's great to see you. I don't know if you remember our phone call from earlier, but I've brought two pieces of retro tech to bring and put into the museum. I'd like to put them forward.
Well, you've come to the right place. Welcome to my office. Do take a seat on the... all I've got is this rather uncomfortable stool in the corner, but you're just going to have to sit in it because that's all I've got.
That's fine. You stay on your sun lounger. I'll just sit on the stool.
Can I get your drink at all?
Some hot chocolate would be lovely. Actually, it's a bit cold up here. You've chosen a bad day for it, but that's fine.
One hot chocolate coming up. So what do you have? Why don't you tell me your first item first?
And so yeah, as you say, I've brought two items because you are quite cruel and you only pick one.
Yes.
But my first item is, it's something that's so cool and I love it. It's the Sony Walkman, the original.
Oh,
Sony Walkman.
Okay. So just describe to me what it looks like. I mean, I know what it looks like. Obviously, I can see it. It's in front of me. You come into my office. Thank you. And you're sat on the uncomfortable stool. But I want to be able to close my eyes and I want you to be able to, you know, describe it to me.
So, I mean, imagine it feels retro. It just feels retro in what it is. It's a big, chunky, square block, essentially. It's a big block which has a headphone port on it for your headphones and a slot for your cassette tape to go in it. And it just feels so good in your hand.
How big is it compared to a cassette tape?
Compared to a cassette tape, it's probably three or four times the size of that and triple the thickness. It's a big old thing. They say it's portable, and it certainly is, but pockets are intimidated by this big boy.
And so it's like, 5 centimetres by 10 centimetres, something like that?
Yeah, I'd say about that. And it's got a sporting a very interesting silver and blue combination. Ooh. On the front of it.
And what's so cool about it? Why are you submitting it to the Museum of Retro Tech? Why do you think it should have a place in the Museum of Retro Tech?
The Walkman was released in, I think it was 1979, the very first one. And it was basically the very first piece of technology that would allow you to take your music anywhere in the world with you. Take it on a walk, take it on a plane, wherever you want. You can bring your music with you. That's, you know, something that we take for granted nowadays, but this was the big daddy of it, basically. You know, it's without this coming in, we'd never have things like the iPod. We'd never have phones nowadays that can stream music straight to our devices.
So it's like the great, 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 great grandfather of the iPod.
It is, but it's like the coolest great grandfather. He's still looking good. You know, he's still in good shape and he still works.
He's still running a 5K every week, that kind of thing. Yeah, cool. I like it. Okay. So is anything else you want to say about the Sony Walkman?
I think if you love and value your music and take it anywhere with you.
Which
you do, then it should definitely be one to consider. And I think you'd be a fool to pass up on this opportunity to have this in your retro tech museum.
And so this is, I mean, what we all have on our phones nowadays is, you know, to be able to play music is thanks basically to this device, the Walkman. So, okay.
Exactly that. It's the start of it all. And so
duly noted.
Just keep that in mind.
Duly
as I
noted.
Move on to my next one.
Duly noted. Okay.
It's a similar sort of vein. I think it's something that's really, really quite key to me in my life is the ability to take photos and capture memories wherever you are.
Yes.
And whoever you're with.
Yes.
Obviously, not so much nowadays when we're all inside and who's taking the picture of the same four walls every day. But
do you? I think are you a fan of wandering around?
You could call me a wandering photographer. You really could. I love taking trips anywhere and taking photos as I go.
Okay, so yeah, let's just call you the wandering photographer from now on. By the way, as that is, I think it's one of your usernames, isn't it, for something?
It's one of those ones that you created in about year seven and you forgot all about it, but it's still there when you log into it. It's like one of those horrible old email addresses that's got lots of X's and exclamation marks in it. It's completely embarrassing. So
the wandering photographer. Okay, sorry. Yes, you were saying. So what are we submitting here?
So yes, photography is big to me.
Yeah.
And I think something that's really key in the world of technology and pretty pivotal is the world's first consumer camera.
Okay, which is called...
It was actually just called the Kodak.
Oh, okay.
Made by the company called Kodak. And it was made in 1888. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
All that time ago, you could still buy a camera and take it around with you and take pictures wherever you go. It looks cool. So for anyone that hasn't seen what it looks like, it's a big, sort of like a mini briefcase. So it's a big black, again, rectangular box with a handle at the top.
Yeah.
And a big lens at the front. And then a little viewfinder right on the top of it that lets you view. It looks classy, I'd say. It's sort of made of leather. It's got a nice aesthetic to it. It's pretty foundational. It brought us the ability to take photos wherever we are. Although, granted, it wasn't the most convenient because it would only let you take 100 photos, 100 exposures before the roll was finished. And then you'd have to send it back to the manufacturer to then get them to reset it and let you take another 100 photos. So you've got to be pretty precious with what you're taking, but...
Would they develop it for you? I guess you couldn't take it to the local supermarket to get it developed.
You couldn't take it to Boots. No, unfortunately not. That was that came in a little bit later, but it would still let you take whatever you wanted around the house.
And was it one of those cameras where you had to kind of put yourself behind one of those like hoods and everyone had to stand really still for about 20 minutes?
As cool as they are, this was the next step in that.
Wow.
I think I still would love to use one of those cameras where you get in a big hood and you make everyone stand there for 12 minutes and
not
everyone's having a horrible time. That's why everyone looked so miserable back in those days. But no, this is one that is much quicker. It's more of it likes to say it captures a snapshot in time. So it's a quicker thing. And it's more like a camera that you'd know today traditionally.
Okay, so do I have to make this decision then at some point?
Basically, you've got to pick between the ability or the things that gave us the ability to take our music around with us or to take a picture anywhere around with us.
Okay. I mean, if I could, I would submit them both. I would have them both. They could be the, the start of two wonderful collections, but...
But you've made this rule.
I didn't make it. It is the rule of the Museum of Retro Tech. I would love to change it, but that's just not how it works, Rob. That's just not how it works.
It's a real shame.
And when you have this power next week, you'll be wielding the same power. So,
it'll go straight to my head.
It will do. I know what you're like with this kind of power. It's a tricky one, isn't it? I'm going to give a bit of explanation. I think it's going to have to be the Walkman, and
Ooh.
I'll tell you why. Because I think there were other companies making cameras, and I think there were probably other companies making cameras, and I'm sure the camera would have kind of developed into something.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse the pun, unintentional. I'm sure that it would have been other companies, but the Walkman I mean, I guess I know a little bit more about it because I had one as well. It really feels so revolutionary, the Walkman, doesn't it?
There was nothing quite like it before that.
It really, like, people could carry their music around with them. And as you said, it's still really cool. I can't imagine the briefcase camera is something that is that. I mean,
they look cool for an aesthetic purpose. I've got one on my windowsill at home, but have I ever used it? No. But no. Would I use a Sony Walkman? Absolutely.
100%. Yeah. So that, for that reason, I'm going to have to enter the Sony Walkman into the Museum of Retro Tech. And that is the item that gets submitted. So Mr. Sony Walkman, Mr. or Mrs. Sony Walkman, should I say, welcome to the collection.
It's a great choice.
Thank you. So that is it from the Museum of Retro Tech.
And with that, it's time for us to end the show for this week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Interneted. We really do hope you've enjoyed it. Interneted is hosted, produced and written by Michael Bird and me, Rob Murgatroyd. If you've got any suggestions or you'd like to submit your questions to the Agony Uncles, you can send us a voice message on our website, which is anchor.fm/interneted. That's anchor.fm/interneted.
And we're releasing episodes every week. So to make sure you don't miss out on our next episode, do make sure you find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to give us a cheeky 5-star rating. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope to see you next week for the next episode of Interneted.